Is the next episode then just the play? Them putting on the play?
Yeah. Oh, the doctor and I.
In the house.
It's recording.
It's recording.
Toot, toot.
You listen to it.
Toot, 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 toot. Toot, 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 toot.
It just totally dropped out. Totally dropped out. It's like
I wasn't doing it.
Okay.
No, I stopped to laugh.
Okay. Because you dropped out for like a second before.
Stick your mouth. Here we go.
Oh, that was super funny.
Welcome!
Yay.
Welcome to Ever Would, Never Wouldn't, a podcast in which I, Adam Lover, make my friends
Eric and
KT
and occasionally my boyfriend
Drew.
Yay!
Watch and discuss with me the first season of the hit early 2000s WB teen / family drama, Everwood. Tonight's episode, season 1, episode 13, The Price of Fame, written by Rita Mimoun, directed by Sandy Smolin, original air date, January 20th, 2003, official DVD set, booklet, episode summary, who's the new cool kid in school? Ephraim is stunned to discover he's the one. All because Colin befriends him. Rehearsals for a production of The King and I unravel under Edna's Gramrod direction. Ramrod it!
Somebody wrote that in eighth grade as like a challenge. Like somebody could have... If you write the episode description, it's a contest. You'll end up in the real booklet. It was just like a freaking 12-year-old. Because for real, what? He is the one.
I submitted episode descriptions for all of them. I was in my junior year of high school, and they didn't accept a single one of mine.
I'm so sorry, Adam.
But I did refer in every episode description that I referred to Ephraim as sexy Ephraim.
Oh.
So they did give me that feedback that that wasn't good.
There was no other.
They put it
context
in the last episode's description and didn't credit you.
Oh, fuckers. Well, that was The Price of Fame. Thought. Yeah.
That was it.
Concerns, comment. What did people think?
I think he's dropping out a lot.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I don't really
care.
It might
be a headphone splitter.
Okay.
It can't be because of the headphone splitter, can it?
I don't think so.
It's got to be some setting here.
Oh, wait. No, sorry. I have it set to automatically determine voice activity.
No.
I changed it for something. So now I have it
Fuck
set.
Fuck you, helpful to... goat. Don't edit that out, Parker.
He loves to say, don't edit things out. Don't do it. Oh my God.
So hopefully it's
That'll
better
be better.
Now.
It's just all the way down. That should be fine.
All green, evergreen, Everwood. Here we go. Let's talk.
The title was not as fitting as some of the other episode titles, I didn't think. It was not as...
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I didn't get many layers from it personally. Maybe that'll come back.
I disagree.
Okay.
It literally connects with every storyline in the episode.
Yeah, but it was... Yeah.
I'm trying to think of all the storylines. So I know that it applies to Ephraim and it applies to
Colin.
The lady.
It applies to Colin.
Well, right. Yes, to Colin. I'm just thinking of them.
That storyline. Like,
Colin and Evelyn.
And I will never remember Colin's name. So
it's Colin.
I know. I'm just saying. After 30 seconds from now,
it rhymes with coma.
Okay. And Colin.
And Evelyn.
Yeah.
That's two out of three.
And it cost Delia sleep.
Evelyn's the director who got Luke.
I think
yeah,
I'm just,
right. That's what
I think
said,
I'm holding
yeah.
it up to the level that the last episode title was, and I thought it was a much better title.
Last episode, Vegetative State. Vegetative State.
That was pretty good. It's pretty dope, if you will.
I think you're grasping here. What?
Grassing?
Ooh, no. It's not a weed episode.
Dang.
So if we don't have any general thoughts, I'm just going to dive in. We're just going to go through.
General okay. thoughts.
General thoughts.
Like, I can't, fucking Amy sucks so fucking much.
Yeah, like, Amy sucks. God. But this episode puts her suckiness, I think, to really good use. We'll get to that.
That's just my overall, like, it's getting to the point true. Where I'm starting to feel like, I don't like her so much that it makes me worried that I'm a misogynist or something. Because I'm like, she's like one of the only fucking female characters, and I cannot stand her at all anymore.
I mean, would it help if we reminded you that she's grieving?
God damn it.
She is grieving the loss of her boyfriend's memory.
Yep.
She sucks.
She's yearning all right. for it to return.
We'll talk about the Ephraim and Amy and Colin stuff, I think, right. at the end. So this episode, we have a guest character. We've mm-hmm. got Evelyn Rouser, I think, played by Joanna Cassidy. We start the episode with a little game of poker. Eric, yep. Did it look weird? Did it look like they weren't actually playing poker?
I misunderstood. It looked like they were all just like throwing cards and chips for a minute.
It was a but lot. It was like they thought they
were
needed
dealing
the most action-y
shot
maybe?
To
convey
I'm not
poker.
Sure. Yeah.
Like they're like, people won't understand that they're playing poker if they're just playing it. We got to be like, okay, what's the point where it's the busiest?
I think the other thing is too, I'm very used to now that it's 2020 seeing pretty much every depiction of poker being Texas Hold'em. Where you deal the cards first and then all the betting happens, but they're like exchanging cards. It made more sense when I realized they were not playing that. And,
they were actually playing Go Fish, I think. Well, the other thing is that in 2003, we didn't have any HD television, so they thought they could get away with things being all blurry, you know?
And full screen.
At full screen. So we've got some Irv narration talking about legends.
I didn't hear most of it.
So bizarre.
Edna is likened to Alexander the Great.
Uh-huh.
Irv likens himself to Ernest Hemingway.
And I just laughed really hard.
The wizard Ernest Hemingway.
Right next to him is Delia, who he likens to Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
No, no, like Amelia Earhart. No, right. nothing yes. else. Marilyn Monroe, of all of the characters, of all the like hyper feminine,
yes.
of all the like, what? You got this wrong, bud.
Uh huh. Yep.
Pick this nine-year-old girl to be
compared to
just
the
hyper-sexualized.
Using presidents.
Aside from the fact that she's like a tomboy.
Right, yes, yeah. absolutely.
But even just the fact that she's a kid.
I wrote WTF about that. That's really strange.
Oh, but also that little girl acted all like, oh, wow, you saw Jack Lemmon. And that fucking little girl wouldn't know who Jack Lemmon was.
Tell him about the time you met Jack Lemmon in the job.
She was in the men's room.
It was one of those Frenchy restaurants. I forget the name. Uno, Duno.
No, Edna, it wasn't. It was a Mexican restaurant, and I accidentally walked into the men's room. And who should be standing there finishing up his business but Mr. Jack Lemmon himself? Now, of course, I had met him several times in passing.
She'd just seen him in Long Day's Journey a couple weeks before.
Anyway, I'm standing there. I am so embarrassed. Mr. Lemmon, zipping up.
So what did you say?
Well, what else could I say except... Well, nobody's perfect.
I don't get it.
It's a famous last line from an old movie, sweetheart. Well, rent it. You'd love it.
So we hear the story about Jack Lemmon, which is a great little story that has the Some Like It Hot reference of like, well, nobody's perfect. But yes, so Delia's reaction, I think that is so true to like a precocious 9-year-old trying to feel like I'm in with the adults.
I'm playing
like,
poker.
I read that as like she's pretending to know who he is. Like she knows from context that like this is a famous one.
I agree that that was probably the direction. I think it's just that she's not a good enough actress at the time to portray she's a child. To tell somebody to be like layer two emotions, like mask an emotion.
No, I think she is a good enough actress because that actress probably didn't know who Jack Lemmon was when she acted it. So she was like, pretend like you don't know who this person is. And she's like, got it. So you were seeing real life. You just don't know how, you just didn't know what you were looking at. Okay. She was too good of an actress.
Right. She's very good. Well, yeah. We can ask future guest of the podcast, Vivian Cardone, mm-hmm. who I am following on Twitter, who has responded to a couple of my tweets.
We know.
You know, you've seen them. We will ask future guest of the podcast, Vivian Cardone, hey.
Who's Jack Lemmon?
Do you know who Jack Lemmon is now? Evelyn tells Andy the story about how she kind of ended up finding Everwood. She was invited to direct a play or a musical, I guess, at the Opera House, which this is a great callback, I think, to like the pilot. Mm-hmm. I think like mentions
Opera House.
The Opera House.
Yeah,
and I think we talked about it because, you know, the time that I spent in Georgetown, Colorado, the young woman that I was kind of hanging out with, she like was a history buff about the area. And she totally like was talked endlessly about the Opera House, maybe Opera Houses. There's mm-hmm. at least one famous one right around Georgetown, Colorado, like in the mountains. So this definitely seems to be based on that.
Yeah, she sounds real cool and cool.
Jerome is
dismissive of Opera Houses. I think I said it when we recorded it that I think I said this. If I didn't, then you need to hear me say it again. I feel like every town has a super old opera house that they're proud of. Literally every town and city.
Right. Lancaster has a Fulton, I yep. guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's probably why I'm
yeah.
jaded that way. But.
Yeah. Because you lived in Lancaster.
Does your town have an opera house?
Probably.
Oh, please.
No, there's nothing in our town except for Paul Rudd. That's it.
Yep. Paul Rudd.
And Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah.
So.
And that's it.
And that's it.
I will
there's
say
no buildings. It's literally a one store here. In there's nothing.
It felt a little awkward with the introduction of Evelyn because the way that she
wait,
was like,
I should make sure that gets edited out. I actually don't want to say where I live because I think there's
Parker. Edit that out and only that out.
It's never. Nobody is ever going
to hear. Okay, but for real,
Parker, if you ever get to this episode, don't leave in.
Yeah.
Just leave in Paul Rudd and Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, that's fine.
But anyway, back to Everwood. With the introduction of Evelyn, I think it was a little awkward because you had the same feeling that I did, whereas what was like, should I know who this person is?
Yes.
Should I remember her?
The whole time looking at
her. It seemed like it was like some like character in the town that we've been introduced to.
Well, right. Well, you mean the first shot?
Yeah.
Like it felt like a reveal whether that it was going to be a famous, like in this world, actress.
Like a cameo.
Or a character we already knew. And it was like, oh, but it was like,
this person.
Who is this
like
person?
Like the guy that owns the newspaper or whatever. Oh, they're playing poker with a newspaper guy.
Right,
this
exactly.
is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Because, well, I mean, like, because you guys have expressed appreciation for like when they mm-hmm. introduced
totally.
Like new members of the town and stuff.
Yeah.
So
I
you
love
think
it.
That like,
it's just the way that it was done, we both had the same disconnect
right.
of worry of like, oh, fuck, I should remember who this
right,
person is.
Right, because it seemed like it was this really long buildup and the speech to reveal somebody we have never met
that
before.
We now have to get to know.
It just felt like it was going to be, oh, who is it going to be? Who's it going to be? Oh, yeah, it's that guy or that girl. Like, you know.
In her defense, Joanna Cassidy wasn't Blade Runner, Who Framed Roger Rabbit. She was Margaret Chenoweth in 6 Feet Under.
Wait, what?
She like has a bunch of credits to her name, so I think people okay. at the time
maybe that was what it was.
Younger. Yeah, that's what I was curious about. Like, whether I wrote it down, didn't I say who? Like, should we know who? Yeah, I don't know, something mm-hmm. like that. But I was very interested in who. What did you say? What was the first one you said, or the second?
Blade Runner.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Who was she in Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
She was Jorah in Blade Runner. Hmm. I think isn't that like a main female
I don't
part?
We've seen it a couple times, but I'm not
didn't
really
like
a fan.
Blade
yeah,
Runner.
I don't
either.
Like Blade Runner either.
Sorry,
I don't understand. Yeah, I know that's
probably.
Like my very
that's
unpopular
like a thing you're
opinion.
Not allowed to say.
I don't really
She's,
get it.
She was Dolores in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is the third
Dolores.
In the top billed cast. Seems like she was like
She definitely looks familiar.
Wait, I watched that movie like 100 times growing up.
It's Bob Hoskins.
Dolores! I remember when he screams it at one point.
Is she like a secretary or like a phone operator or something?
Is she that cartoon with the huge tits?
Yeah, yeah, no, she's the one at the... Oh my God, she's the lady at the counter. Yeah. Well, she's the one that Bob Hoskins is, you know, likes.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, I mean, so yeah, there's that. And like, what? I think the narration is supposed to set... Well, I think what's weird about it is that you don't expect Everwood to have any other kind of famous people. Like, we've been trained, like to think that Andy Brown's the first big legend to come here. Mm-hmm. But this episode, the intro, kind of adds this new wrinkle of, like, no, they've had some other famous people or friends of famous people pass through. And that kind of contradicts what we our impression of the town thus far. So I don't blame you for feeling distracted by that. That makes sense. She is a director. She directs a musical at the community theater in Everwood every winter. She invites Andy and Delia to audition. Delia's like, you have to pick up my sheet music first thing tomorrow. Andy's like, a star is born.
Yeah.
And then she says that, and he's like, and a star is assistant.
Cute.
At the auditions, Dr. Abbott is doing warm-ups.
Miney, 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 mine. Miney, Theophilus Thistle, the successful thistle sifter, is sifting a sieve full of unsifted thistles. Good luck, Dan. Knock him dead, Neil. Break a leg, Alice.
Thanks, Dr. Abbott. You too.
Me, 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 me.
What are you doing here so early? You're not slated till 4.
No, absolutely not. I signed up for a 3 o'clock audition, Mother.
Hmm. I wrote down 4. Oh, well. Stuff to Molly's.
Mommy, 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 mom.
Beautiful, isn't it? That's one of the oldest theaters in Colorado, Delia.
It looks like a picture. Didn't they have regular toilets?
Why wouldn't they have regular toilets?
I don't know. Maybe they didn't have them in the olden days.
If this is the result of homeschooling, I'd reconsider your options.
I take it you're auditioning, Doctor?
Well, the audition's merely a formality, but yes. Yes, I am.
You don't seem scared at all.
If you or your father were to carefully peruse the one sheets outside of the opera house here, you would notice that there has not been an Everwood Winter musical in the last 6 years in which I have not played the lead.
I bet you made a great gypsy.
You're not, Doctor. I'm sure Evelyn will find a place for you, perhaps in the chorus.
Well, you're absolutely right, because there's room in my musical for everyone.
Evelyn, wonderful seeing you.
Were you surprised that Dr. Abbott would be like an actor?
No.
No.
Not at all.
Makes sense, right? It kind of fits. And not only the actor, but like the lead,
yep,
lead role in every production for the last how many years?
Mm-hmm. It was a little. It's interesting to predict what his feelings are going to be about things, because like sometimes he wants to be not excited about the things that everybody else is excited about, like holidays or festivals or whatever. Or like he was like saying, "I'll shoot myself if I'm picked as the most popular churchman or whatever that contest was that people were running to go to church to find out about.
People were running into the church.
But he also, you could tell he kind of so cared, funny. But like he was pretending to not care. Whereas this, he's like, I'm totally into this and this is my thing.
Yeah.
You know, when he and Andy drove to Denver to pick up Ephraim and Amy, he was, I don't know if we heard them listen to music, but Andy got out a CD and
what was it?
And Andy Harold was like, the show tunes. They are mine. I listen to them. So this kind of ties back to that.
Okay.
So cute.
Nice.
Gay.
Honestly, yes.
Musicals are gay, everyone. It's fine. Just have to say it. Musicals are gay.
Musicals are gay. His little warm-ups turn into mommy, 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 mom.
Oh, it's God.
Funny. After Edna gives him kind of a hard time with his audition time.
Yeah.
I love the little interactions between Delia and Dr. Abbott. I'll always say it. When she, like, kind of wide-eyed, like, looks up at him and she says, "You don't seem scared at all."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Of course not. I'm the star."
Yeah.
The auditions are but a formality.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Doc's office with Evelyn. Oh, yeah, because, of course, he's people coming to town for short amounts of time.
And he's like, something's wrong with you.
always have to go see him.
I'm very confused.
You coughed twice.
Yes.
She asks about Ephraim. Is this your son? And he looks all proud and smiley. And, you know, why didn't he, she asks, why didn't he audition? And he says, Ephraim saves his theatrical side for our arguments.
Mm-hmm. Once again, a dad dismissing the feelings of his son, calling him dramatic.
Uh-huh. It's not wrong, though.
Yeah.
He's really not.
Oh, good point.
Here's the door. We'll get there.
Yeah. We learned that Evelyn has leukemia. Andy's like, what? You already knew? What's leukemia? I'm a baby. She gives a little speech about, ends with a nice line, I came here to die. Instead, I ended up living the best years of my life. And now she's sick again. Go cancer! Mm-hmm. Next scene, we see that Edna has learned that Evelyn has flown the coop. She, and nobody else besides Andy, really, and everyone knows about the leukemia. So Evelyn is given a little excuse. She's going back to New York to spend time with her sister and her nephew. And she has assigned Edna to direct. What do we think about Edna being a director? What did you think she would be a good director at that point?
No. I thought that was very interesting that she was asked to be director. I wrote down, she was always a stage manager. Edna equals director.
Either she wasn't going to be good or she was like not going to think she would be good and then turn out good in a different way.
Oh, goodness, no.
Right away, she's like, if some thespian dressed in black asks me what his motivation is, I'm liable to smack him. Mm. Classic Edna. Mm-hmm. But then she kind of warms up to the idea. You know, I did pick up a few things in my Rumble in the Jungle. I loved Andy's line about, well, as long as you don't ask people to make necklaces out of people's ears.
Oh, God, yeah.
This show's writing occasionally, like, it's really like, yikes.
Yep.
And like when Harold is like, well, being the expert on ghosts.
Oh, my Ooh. God, yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Brenda Baxworth is cast as, the lady, the white lady in The King and I.
Yeah, the white lady, yep.
Mm-hmm. I was in The King and I, by the way. I played Captain Orton in my senior year of high school.
Interesting.
It was my third time ever on stage. My debut performance was as the Nazi officer in The Diary of Anne Frank.
Oh my God.
I see it. I can see it.
You snap. And then I was like in this kids theater, like a show for kids. I played like a wolf and like an adaptation of a bunch of wolf stories. Mm-hmm. And then I played Captain Orton in The King and I.
Did you try out because you saw the play in this show?
No. The year before? That is interesting. I would have seen this episode.
Yep, your junior year.
Whoa, really?
And then what motivated me to audition for plays my senior year was the fact that I saw Oklahoma my junior year. All my friends were in it. And mm-hmm. I was like livid and so envious that they got so many laughs. I was like, I want to be a pair. I want to get laughs. I want to be part of the magic of theater.
Oh, that's so funny.
So that's why I did. And then I got to play the Nazi officer.
Famously the funniest role.
Famously.
The whole part.
What's funny is that, like, I invited, like, some, like, friends to come see it. My friend Jeremy, my cool older friend Jeremy, I was like, I'm in this play. Like, you should come see it. And he did. And at the end, you know, when you go out into the lobby and kind mm-hmm. of meet people, he was like, dude, you didn't come in until the end. And he wasn't making a joke. I was like, it's the Diary of Anne Frank, Jeremy. Oh, do you not God. Know the story?
Oh, my God.
In The King and I was only in the beginning, and mm-hmm. then they cut the mid-musical scene with Captain Norton. So mm-hmm. I just got to, like, relax backstage every night, the rest of the night. So good.
That's great.
Nice.
That's what every actor wants.
Anyway, so Brenda says, it's kind of flirty with Andy. She's like, looks like I'll finally be getting to know you. Mm-hmm. Brenda wants Andy's dick. Dr. Abbott, of course, is livid that he has been cast as chorus and the king understudy. Mm-hmm. Irv is going to be Edna's stage manager. Edna gives him permission to kick some thespian butt if anybody breaks any rules, at which point Arnie runs out of the theater. He's a little red-haired kid we've seen a couple of times. I think we've seen him in some scenes with Delia and Magilla. So that's fun. So far, I mean, this is more plot summary than most of the things we've recorded, because there's not much to talk about so far.
Setting everything up. It's all set up. But I have a question, and maybe we have to talk about the rest of it. Why did she cast Andy as the king?
That's weird.
He also wants his...
Right. Is it flirty? Is it, I don't know, like...
I think Andy is very charming. He's a charming person. And she knows his story as, like, new famous doctor in town, hero. Mm-hmm. Like, it's probably to get people, like, to come and sit in the audience, you know, get to sell tickets. Mm. I think it makes sense, you know, and I think she's just like, she knows she has leukemia, right? So she's like in this weird mindset of like, I'm going to stir things up, like whatever.
Or maybe she wanted the whole thing to tank so people would like, when she's not directing, it's not as good.
That's a plan.
She actually is really passive aggressively mad at Edna and she's setting her up to fail.
She wants people to remember the memory of her or whatever, the image of her.
Probably what it is.
Wow.
Plays weren't as good as when I did them.
That's enormously cynical and sinister theory. I like it.
No, you don't. We're watching Everwood. You hate it.
Let's see. Andy, I love the scene of Andy running his lines with his patient, Thurman. That's
so funny.
Splendid, Your Majesty. How many children have you? Don't tell me. Wait a minute. I know this one. I know it. 67.
I have 67 children.
Say, how long do you think I have to have this castle? Could you focus with me here for a minute, Thurman? Did I say the line right or not?
No, not really. The line was, I have only 67 altogether.
But you're not even looking at the script.
I know it already. We've done this 100 times, Doc.
Well, I was close. You don't have to get so nitpicky about it, for God's sake.
But you said earlier
Look, forget what I said, okay? Let's assume that if I'm in the ballpark, it's good enough, all right?
All right.
Okay, watch. Now, let's skip ahead to the next part.
Okay. Yeah. A missionary taught you English? Yes, sir. Missionary. That's your cue.
I have a line there.
Oh, do
you see that?
No, you've been rehearsing this play 3 weeks, Doc. Shouldn't you know your lines better than that?
Thurman, you want to wear this cast forever? I need more plaster.
Storage! How's it going on those lines, Sarge?
Oh, great. Just really, really great. I have altogether 42 children.
And Andy's like, would you focus?
Yeah.
Would you focus? Like, I'm trying to learn these lines.
Yeah. I'm doing this for free, asshole.
Yeah.
He's like, no, that wasn't right. He's like, you didn't even look at the page. He's like, I know them already.
We've been doing this for so long.
That was so good.
Fun stuff. Andy is really bad in rehearsal, which, like, we in the very first beginning of the episode, we hear him tell, like, Evelyn, like, I was terrible at memorizing lines when I tried to act. So, like, none of this is a surprise to anybody, but he's pausing a lot. He doesn't have his lines memorized 3 days before the performance.
Yes, that's what I said. I'm like, what? Then Eric said, you guys have never done community theater. Eric did a lot of it. Yeah, he did a lot of that growing up. I didn't, I guess.
That seems like an impact thing for sure. Like, 3 weeks of rehearsal, intense, stay late.
Yep.
I'm at Fernandez. Stay late.
People pay $3 for a ticket. They get what they pay for.
Parker, please do not. Cut my impression of Ed Fernandez. That's why I give a shit. Parker, surprise me.
Keep half of it.
I love in that rehearsal, Brent, like, first they're slow, and then Andy's back on book, and they're going super fast. And then Brenda's like, this is ridiculous. They don't talk this fast on West Wing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Greg Berlanti throwing pot shots at Aaron Sorkin.
It would have been interesting if they would have like mentioned Gilmore Girls, because I'm pretty sure there was all of
Yes, that's what I thought of.
Gilmore Girls. That would have been very funny. Mm-hmm. That's getting into some like 2010s meta humor. I don't think they're ready for that in 2003.
Right, but it's also like right for crossover. Rory could have come to Everwood on like a field trip or something.
Yeah, wow.
I'm not saying that doesn't happen. Edna tells Brenda, drop and give me 20. Obviously not a great directing.
That lady was not doing push-ups.
No.
Wait, did we see what she was doing?
Yeah, like, we cut to her. It was like from her shoulders up. Yeah. It was for a reason.
Classic Brenda Bagsworth. This is when Harold gives his speech about, you know, you need to be encouraging. She says, like, even a god-awful actor like Dr. Brown deserves encouragement.
Yeah. Can I say something? This is the first thing I've had to say, I think, in a while, I guess. But
do it.
In the rehearsal and at the end, like, because it's in the play, the cast, I don't know if we've ever seen this girl before, but she looked like a fucking porcelain baby doll with a wig on.
I wrote down on my paper, who the fuck is Alice?
Is that her name?
The blonde woman who's like playing the
I said that she looks like a literal toddler baby doll cherub face porcelain thing with a wig on. That's what she looks like.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out like what doctor procedural show she was from or something. Like, she just looks like a person.
She looks like a baby doll. She looks like a porcelain doll with a wig on.
Future guest of the podcast, Kristen Bramble.
Poor Kristen Bramble.
Are you a doll on a Are you a baby's face on a the wig on a Barbie's body?
Yes.
I don't know. She was definitely very distinct looking. She's known for The Deep Below. What? I don't know what that is. She has 5 acting credits.
Okay.
What, like what?
That was Kristen Bramble. Let's see if she is on Twitter.
She was in this episode only in Everwood.
What, she only like, acted for like 5 years. Weird. That's maybe she like.
Hey, acting is weird.
No, but like,
no,
why?
No, I mean, like,
why did she have such a like a role in this?
Right.
Why do they keep referring to her?
Is she famous too? Nope. We already looked it up. I'm just
like, why do I know her name and not that guy at the party, the high school kid at the party that we talked
the
about?
The future alcoholic.
Yeah, that guy.
That's so bizarre.
I don't know why you're taking issue with the show choosing to kind of flesh out the town.
The whiteness of the town.
No, it didn't flesh her out.
Flesh out the white flesh. White flesh out the town.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That's all it did.
She was literally
we know,
as
I know her
white
name,
as one
and
can
that's
be.
All I know about her.
She was translucent.
It was a very white production of The King and I, much like my New Holland, Pennsylvania Garden Spot High School production of The King and I.
See,
white.
I think it's acceptable for a high school production to be whatever because it's a high school production, but I mean, Everwood, come on, bring in some.
Yeah, but my friend Matt Schaefer played the King of Siam, and they like gave him like it was weird, like essentially like yellow face,
right
hand. He feels really weird about it now.
Uh-huh.
But at the time, you know, 2005, we didn't know any better.
Oh my goodness!
Luckily, I was Captain Norton. I was British, and I didn't have to do shit.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah. So the King and I think Alice is fine. I think it's fun to see new faces.
She's fine. It was just so I don't know. Like again,
she
like
looked
you said,
like a
out
baby's
the town.
Face.
All right. Stop disparaging the way this person looks. I'm talking about the
She's
writing of the show.
Scary looking.
Future guest of the podcast, Kristen Bramble. You look scary. Why did you stop acting? Wait, I think we can guess.
Do we have do we have a new segment of the show, Brambling On?
Same thing every time. You look like a scary baby.
Oh my god!
It was just weird to me that this.
I guess.
She didn't serve a purpose. I guess she was just like
maybe next
reinforcing like the whole. Treating Edna like a drill sergeant.
They needed another, like, character for Edna to kind of be hard on. They needed a pattern.
Okay.
Cool.
Fleshing out the town.
I didn't need to know her name.
I love fleshing out the town. I love that Norman Rockwell kind
just
of aspect
cast a
to
good-looking
the show.
Person!
Just stop hiring babies wearing wigs and putting them on stilts! It's weird.
They needed to have somebody who looked more like a baby than Andy Brown.
That's so true.
That's probably why Evelyn cast her was, well, I'm going to cast this grown baby as the king, but we'll distract from that by casting this actual baby sewn onto an adult woman's body.
As Tim Tam Slam or whatever her name was.
Tim Tam Slam!
That's probably racist for me to say, isn't
The play is racist for calling the character Tim Tam Slam. Tim Tam Slam from Siam.
God. It's my favorite Looney Tunes character.
Harold insists to his mother, Edna, that this is not a boot camp. Edna says, you know what? It's my way or the highway. And anybody... Oh, wait. Let me do my Edna impression. Look, soldiers. It's my way or the highway. It's my way or the highway. And if you don't like it, you can leave.
Was that Ed Fernandez?
Smoke this pack of cigarettes and then try again.
Yeah, exactly.
Edna Fernandez.
Okay.
And everybody leaves.
And also, and like KT and I were thinking the same thing of where it was going, that Dr. Abbott was then going to step in as the director.
Yeah.
Because it was a...
It felt like a very, like a moment in a sports movie where the old guy, like, his arm breaks so he can't do the pitching anymore, but he realizes he's a good coach. And it's not like Dr. Abbott couldn't do it in the future, but just that he realizes he doesn't have to be the lead, he could be the director. Because he seemed like he knew what it was about. And then it was like, nope, no, that's not what's happening. And I was like, oh.
No, play over.
Okay.
I could totally see a version of the episode that kind of did that. And then actually, like, Harold could be the one who actually goes and, like, talks to Evelyn more about, like, directing and stuff. Like, I think there's totally a version of the script that could have gone that direction. That's interesting. But
it didn't.
Andy's the hero. Andy's our main character. Delia has a nightmare where she's singing her song and the audience boos her. Some man yells out louder and she can't whistle. And I love when the one audience member is like, that's not whistling, that's blowing.
Yeah. You would just want to play that guy. That's why you love that so much.
I would love that. Jerome asked, he was like, is this the only dream sequence they've had? And I was like, no, they've had a bunch of dream sequences in the show.
Yeah.
Which other ones can we remember? Do you guys remember other dream sequences?
I think Ephraim has had at least one or two with Amy being...
Yeah,
one
definitely.
Was super sexy, like sexual.
There's one in the pilot where she's like jerking him off on the dance floor in the cafeteria. Just like, let's dance. I just want to be ravaged. And it makes him have a cum dream. That's not what it's
called. Wet dream. Yeah,
a wet
I
dream.
I don't remember that, but oh my god.
It's right after he's explaining to her, like, manga, it's not Clark Kent waiting to turn into Superman, it's Superman waiting to turn into Clark Kent.
This was the first episode,
the very first episode, and she's like, oh, that's hot.
I wonder if I blocked that shit out, because if I watched that, I would have been like, this is not gonna be a good series at all.
You blocked it out because it was a dream sequence and it was inconsequential.
Well, because from the beginning, I never really liked Ephraim. So sorry, Adam. He's gotten much better, but I didn't like him and I knew how much you loved him. So
there was that one. What else was there? There's one where Bright was dreaming of a world with no homosexuals in it.
Oh! A little preview of Prattling On. You know, there was one where, so Delia dreamt of her teacher turning into a big Violet. Miss Violet's turning Violet.
Oh, yeah, because she got freaked out about the Willy Wonka movie.
And, of course, we've got Harold having his Thanksgiving nightmare of his funeral.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too, yeah.
So, yeah, plenty of other dreams. Andy talks to Evelyn. He's like, tell them you have leukemia. I can't keep secret. Edna's your friend, and right now she thinks she sucks because she can't duet. And
is that fair?
Is that fair? And she's like, plenty of things in this life are not fair, Dr. Brown. You of all people should know that. Because life died.
And he should be like, yeah, but you're causing this one.
You're doing this. knowingly. And
can choose not to.
Yep.
You're not an icy patch on a road.
Edna finds Evelyn in the bar.
I don't suppose you serve margaritas,
Evelyn? I'll have what she's having, please.
I thought you were in New York. Your note said you had gone.
The note. It's full of bull. A fantastic liar.
Well, the joke's on you, because it turns out I'm a lousy director. I single-handedly ruined your musical.
I'm sure it's safe to assume that you did not single-handedly ruin anything. In fact, I'm certain that you had help in the destruction of Siam.
The truth is, I tried. I just couldn't do it. I'm not you, Evelyn.
No. No, you most certainly are not. You're better. Real Edna. Real people make mistakes. They fall down in the world, and they pick themselves up. Bloodied knees and all.
I just wanted it to be perfect, you know?
I didn't pick you to direct my play because I thought you were going to be perfect. In fact, I chose you because I knew you wouldn't be. And that you wouldn't let it stop you. I heard that I made a teeny-weeny casting faux pas.
Oh, boy. So you wouldn't mind if I...
Darling, the play is yours. Do with it what you wish.
You probably shouldn't drink that.
Well, nobody's perfect.
What? So did we miss it, Jerome and I? Like, does Edna know by the end of that scene that Evelyn has leukemia?
It does not seem to me that she knew. Like, and then the dialogue seemed to wrap around to it seemed like she knew. Like, it was so much more
drink that right. Like, I mean, was it the fact that she was wearing this cap oddly?
Maybe.
Could be that.
That's what I was thinking.
Was there a line at the beginning where Edna like said something about like Andy?
No.
Like Dr. Brown told me you
would no.
Like, be here.
No, no. Mm-mm. I had the
very
same
strange.
Thought. Yeah.
I wonder if there was a deleted scene or.
Or but
by the end of the scene,
yeah.
It definitely seems like she knows.
Right. But that hug or whatever, that was more than just like. Thanks for telling me
that
I'm,
was
I'm
that
right,
wasn't
whatever.
Just a thanks for encouraging me and directing
right.
That was a you have leukemia and are gonna die hug.
Yeah,
sad.
Yeah.
Delia tries to get out of the musical in which she's playing the boy, the son of the the woman character.
That's so good. As soon as she starts saying that, I'm like, oh, she's going to be describing menopause. That was so good.
It's so good. She's so listing funny. The symptoms. And Andy's like, well, you know, it is kind of rare for menopause to occur in 9-year-old girls. I love that he kind of plays along. He's like, well, we can take you in. You can get tested tomorrow just in case.
Yeah.
Get some blood taken. Mm-hmm. She's like, what?
Blood? Did anybody else see the copy of the Merck manual on her bedside table?
Yes. It's so good.
Oh.
It's like a
it's right
medical,
in the foreground.
It's a medical like
so
manual.
She was looking at
yeah.
it. That's great.
They so didn't cute. Acknowledge it at all. I thought he was going to pick it up and just look at it for a second
right.
and put
no,
it
that's
down
great.
Or something.
Drop placement. Mm-hmm. So she's like, maybe I don't have menopause.
That's so cute.
He should have just kept playing along. He shouldn't have let her. No, you might.
Oh, seems like
we gotta. Do. We should probably even go now to the hospital.
Yeah.
And he takes her.
Terrorize her. he's like tries encouraging her, and he doesn't even realize that what he's saying, like "fake it till you make it," is essentially the topic of her song
yeah.
in the musical. She's like, just like my song says. He's like, what song?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Going back to encouraging for a moment, I forgot to mention this in the bar scene where Evelyn talks to Edna. It was a majority of that was way too harsh, Evelyn. The majority of her encouragement was, "You're not great at this, and I knew you wouldn't be."
Yeah,
that's why I picked you.
Yeah,
and that's okay, but. It's okay. Like, 60% of what she said was, I knew you were going to do a bad job.
Yeah. Yep. But in a way, I mean, who else to say that kind of thing to? That I feel like that's something that she, that's like showing that she knows her friend, because that's how, how else do you get somebody like that to do something or get your respect? You tell them the negative stuff. I get it, because I'm just like, is her name Edna?
No, it's Colin.
Guys, I don't fucking know anyone's names.
Yes, Edna.
I'm just like Edna. Like, I will not believe you unless, like, there's a little bit of bad stuff, at least, with the good.
And you've made me made so many necklaces out of people's ears.
Yeah.
So many.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Edna, chastened, goes to Mama Joy's, where I guess the whole cast is.
Yep.
She encourages everybody. Says, you look nice today, Baxworth. Brenda's like, thank you.
Yeah.
I love what she says to Delia. Like, Private, you're doing a good job. You, every time you're up there, you really make me think that you're a boy up on that stage, and it freaks me out.
Yep. Yeah.
Andy, you're fired.
Andy, you're fired. He's like, what?
Yeah.
She's like, how many children do you have? He's like, 30. I love that when he's guessing, Delia kind of smiles awkwardly at him, like, oh, you got this?
Yeah.
He does not got it.
No.
And so the part goes to Harold. He gets to be the star. Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad, I will say, that Andy was not good, because I was getting a little like, all right, he's better than Dr. Abbott and everything, but Dr. Abbott is a very good character and I want him to have his thing. So when this started happening, I was like, no, he's going to be good. And then it wasn't, it was that they needed him. I liked that a lot.
It's great to see Dr. Brown like palpably like fail at something. Not like fail at something because he's too good or too ethical.
Yes.
And he cares too much.
Yes. But just my faults are that I care too much.
And it's a great, you know, when Ephraim is sitting with him in the audience.
So who's this Evelyn Rouser?
Why do you ask?
Well, I don't know. Plays dedicated to her. Is she famous or something?
Well, I guess you could say she's something of a legend around here.
Is she the reason you got fired?
I did not get fired. I chose to step down from the role. Artistic differences.
And Dad?
Mm-hmm?
It's nice to know you're not awesome at everything.
It's nice to know you're not awesome at everything, which I think is a great, great little moment. The episode ends with Edna kind of gives him a nice little speech. I'd be proud to lead you into battle. Good luck, even though good luck's bad luck in the theater.
I'm glad they acknowledged that. That was a nice touch.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, Dealey's like, isn't that bad luck? And Brenda's like, yeah, but let's not tell her, huh? Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice. The closing narration of Irv's about like the few seconds before the curtain goes up, I totally stole that. My senior year of high school at the Garden Spot Performing Arts, GSPA Awards at the end of year ceremony, I was awarded the, I have it right here. I was awarded the GSPA Robert Kuiper's Memorial Comedy Award, award for excellence in comedy, comedic excellence. And I knew I was going to be winning it. And so like, I wrote like a brief little like acceptance speech, and I totally like ended it with like, you know, appreciating and like just like referencing like those, that holy time, the few seconds before the curtain goes up.
Oh my God,
really fucking corny.
In the audience, they were like, is this guy like a wizard Ernest Hemingway?
Well, what's weird is that they gave me the Comedic Excellence Award specifically for The Diary of Anne Frank.
Nice.
So it's interesting.
See, that's why you got the award, guys. That's why you got the award. I wish you were holding that in your shower gif.
Yeah. Why not?
I'm going to do like a 10-year anniversary of that gif. It'll be very special. All right.
Now to the real story.
Now do a rewind sound.
What kind of sound Adam made?
Now we get to the good stuff, the good storyline,
the juice.
The first glimpse of the teen storyline in the show is Colin's sad as fuck face and some sad music over it.
Mm-hmm.
Amy is meeting and picking him up. She gives him like his like letter jacket. He's like, what the fuck is this? She's like, it's your jacket. Great, we'll see.
Yep, perfect.
They're drunk.
Well oh, delivered.
God. A slow-mo walk at the school.
Mm-hmm.
With that music.
With that music.
Dun-dun, it's so interesting. Dun-dun. Like the music they pick like in this show for like the teenage scenes, it's mm-hmm. good, I think. Like it works right? a lot of the time.
Jerome didn't do his homework. If you recall, I gave Jerome homework to look up the songs used in the show.
You know that canonically I don't do homework.
Hmm.
Jerome does not do homework.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's your fault, Adam.
Yeah, I guess
next
so.
He's going to give you marijuana to do. Your marijuana for next time is to look up
the songs. Oh, no. The what are you going to do then?
Oh, are you tricking? These are the best tricks.
These are the best tricks.
Amy says to Colin, kind of warning him about some teacher, like, if she likes you, you're set.
The journalism teacher.
Journalism teacher. He's like, does she like me? Amy says, everybody likes you, Colin.
And then she asks him where homeroom, where if she he remembers where homeroom is. And now here's my question, and maybe it's yeah. like different schools are different, but like, isn't this a new school year for him? Because it wasn't his accident on the 4th of July. Why would
yeah,
like
you wouldn't have the same it'd all be different year to year.
Yeah, right. would this journalism teacher like him? I guess she's saying that he will like him maybe or whatever. But like specifically the homeroom thing, like wouldn't yes. he have a new one? Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's a school where like they have the same homeroom every year.
No. So I get that she probably already knows the journalism teacher. That's fine.
Yeah.
But the homeroom thing, I think we've got a new segment here. Continuity cunt, where Eric is a cunt about continuity.
Okay.
Continuity, 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 Eric.
He wouldn't know where his homeroom is because his accident was on July 4th. We know that because it was after the thing where Dr. Abbott was proud to wear his tights and then he went and crashed his truck and then he's been in a coma. And now it's after Christmas, so it's like January or something. And he would not know where his homeroom is unless it's a weird school where they have the same homeroom location every year, which I guess is possible. I don't know how they do
I
it
know.
In Colorado.
All of our listeners need to write in and tell us, have you ever had the same homeroom over 4 years?
I also didn't even have a homeroom in high school.
We're going to get a lot of responses about
you
this,
know
you
what? You know what? There, I do recall that clubs, organizations in high school, like FEA, Future Educators of America, FFA, Future Farmers of America in Lancaster, they would have their own homerooms.
What?
So maybe he was a member of an organization that would have had a homeroom that was consistent. It would be basically like the teacher, the lead teacher of that organization, they would have that organization as their homeroom.
Mm-hmm.
I guess probably it makes sense like to help with like planning things, like one less wow. time you have to meet. So like maybe that works. So I'm going to sing the continuity song in reverse because I'm going to say that Colin is popular enough that he's probably in like some fucking mm-hmm. Future Football Players of America homeroom. All right. So continuity song backwards.
Carrie. All right, now Parker, take that and play it forwards, and let's see what it sounds like, and then we'll continue from here.
Wendell's back. Wendell's
Yay!
Back in this episode.
I wrote down Colin equals Wendell with underlines because now that Colin's back, because now that Colin's back in school, Ephraim can't talk to Amy, so they have to bring in Wendell. So Ephraim has someone to talk to.
And of course, Wendell, as usual, is the like meta like explainer of like mm-hmm. it's high school, man. This is what happens in high school storylines in the WB. You're popular now, man. Colin likes you, so everybody else likes you too. That's how things work. Oh, is the scene over? All right, bye.
Oh my God.
It's weird seeing them together again. Almost like nothing ever happened.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, hey, I know you're feeling kind of destroyed right now, but I'm here for you, buddy.
Why would I be feeling destroyed?
Because you've been holding Colin's place in line. Now he's back and you've got nowhere to stand. You wasted all that time on Amy for nothing.
That wasn't for nothing.
Oh, that's true. It was like a practice crush. Now you can focus on liking someone a little more at your speed.
Shut up, Wendell.
That's Wendell, future guest of the podcast, Cody McMains.
He was, if anybody in here has the comedic taste of watching Not Another Teen Movie, he was the little brother of the main character of Janie.
Was he in Not Another Teen Movie?
He was Janie's little brother.
That's awesome. Oh. I could totally see it. He brings that meta.
Probably saw him in the show, and they're like, hey, just play that character.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
So this is, I've been looking forward to this stuff so much. Ephraim and Colin meeting each other officially.
Yeah.
They meet in the bathroom. Colin's like, do I know you?
Mm-hmm. I know you. I don't think so. I'm new here. You're from Brown, the kid from New York.
Yeah, it's me.
I thought so. You know, I know all about you.
You shouldn't waste your Google time on me, all right? I'm not that interesting.
Bright told me about you.
Yeah, I don't know what Bright said, but he's running on empty as far as brain cells are concerned.
Your dad saved my life.
Excuse me?
Well, I met him a few times in rehab. He's the one that did the operation, right?
That's what Bright told you.
What everyone told me. Said he's some kind of a genius.
Yeah, he likes to think so.
Well, you're cool with me. It's nice to meet you, Ephraim.
Sure. Nice meeting you, too.
It's just like a really interesting, I think, unexpected little dynamic. Mm-hmm. That, like, oh, okay. Ephraim and Colin, interesting.
That scene was giving me vapors a little bit.
Mm. He was getting vapors. I could feel the vapors.
Oh.
I felt the same vapors for sure. Like, I was like, I stand
kiss,
Ephraim and Colin.
Kiss.
Yeah.
And then at lunch, like, he invites Ephraim to sit with Tam and Amy and Bright and the bitch girl. I'm not even going to look at her name.
Yeah, she sucks.
I wonder what the lunch lady eats for lunch. Do you think she eats this stuff or does she brown bag it? And if she brown bags it, isn't she still the one who did all the cooking? So wouldn't it be just as bad?
Your thoughts exhaust me, Wendell.
Imagine what they do to me.
Ephraim, I saved you a seat.
It's okay. I'm just going to,
What? Sidebar. Dude, what is wrong with you? The popular table is beckoning.
So?
So you can't say no. That'd be like saying no to free comics, or like saying no to making out with Gwyneth Paltrow. Such things are simply not done.
Okay. All right.
Bring me back a souvenir.
You all know Ephraim, right?
Sure, we do. How's it going, dude?
It's going good. What's going with you?
Good. Thanks for asking.
Amy, will you scoot over? You're like suffocating me here. Hey, Ephraim.
Hey. All right, you guys obviously know each other.
No, not really. I mean, not so much.
You're both sophomores. I mean, you must have some classes together.
I rarely attend class.
But he does go on field trips. I need a soda. You want something from the vending machines, Colin?
I'm good, thanks. Oh, wait up. Ephraim, do you want anything?
Relax, I'm good.
Ephraim, you want anything?
Yeah.
And Ephraim's like, no, I'm good. I love that dynamic.
It's very good.
Some lovely, like, awkward interaction there between Bright and Ephraim. We're like, how are you? And Amy denies knowing Ephraim.
That was the worst. How dare she? She is the worst. This is what I'm fucking saying. Like, we don't know each other.
Yeah.
What?
That is like And that is just her fucking guilt about having kissed him and shit.
Fuck,
she's just
her.
Like, I don't know what to do. Like, just have some chill and just be a normal human being.
There's no way that their teenage love, Amy and Colin, was so vast and important that she needs to, like, treat Ephraim like that, like to, like, hold on to this shit.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Right.
But if you had, like, incorporated into your identity for, like, a year, like, a half a year of your life, that you are, like, waiting for your boyfriend to wake up from a coma, like, you would be put all this pressure on yourself.
I think
that, like, this has to be a particular way when he wakes up. Like, she has all that pressure on herself, and it's making her, it is warping her sense of, like, how to treat people right.
Yeah.
Like, she just wants things to be a certain way because she wants to be in control.
Yep.
And Colin wanting to befriend Ephraim, nobody expected it. None of us expected it. And neither did she.
Yep. Yeah. I think Wendell needs to come onto this podcast and be like, guys, it's like this. Like, when in high school, like, when your boyfriend's gone and then they come back and you, like, were, like, cool with another boyfriend, you can't say that you knew him. That's just, it's high school, man. That's just how it works.
Future guest of the podcast, the character Wendell.
Yeah, I hope so. My goodness.
We need to get Colin on first so that Wendell can show up more.
So if none of Colin's memories matter to him, what would it matter if Ephraim and Amy kissed? He'd be like, okay, I don't care. Right. I don't remember.
That's
I clearly,
like,
never knew. So
for real.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah.
This kid, well, like, I mean, seriously, another of my notes is that the fucking kid who plays Colin...
Mike Irwin.
Okay.
Does he look like a baby?
Mike Irwin. No, but his direction or whatever sucks. He is not, it doesn't seem to me, no, it does not seem sad. He seems like he's had a fucking lobotomy.
Yeah, he seems drugged.
Literally had brain surgery.
Except, so, right. Okay, so here's a problem that I'm having with this show actually right now.
Okay.
We were this is a genuine problem that's developed because of this episode and because of Adam's reaction to what we just said. This show started off with this boyfriend in a coma, right? And then we learned that it happened, and like it's been talked about forever, and then we learned that it happened on July 4th. To me, it felt like longer, like because of the development of the show, like it felt like the coma situation was much longer. I was very judgy earlier on and saying like, wow, what the fuck is wrong with this girl? Like, she's been waiting forever. Like, just leave the coma boy alone. He's obviously going to be in a coma forever. Like, I was judging hardcore with that stuff.
But reality, he's been in a coma less time than we've been stuck in our house.
Yes. Because the fact is, if we were saying it's January, we were just saying that. And I don't know if that's actually right. It's after Christmas, right? It's after Christmas. There is no fucking way that that kid got out of a coma and hopped to school 2 days later. That was an extensive period of physical therapy, So like, when did he get out of this coma? Like, none of this timeline is making any sense to me because like, they must have like indicated
to
us
before Thanksgiving,
right?
I can't remember exactly when it fell.
Yeah. I still feel like, how feasible is it that like before Thanksgiving and then just in January, this kid who's been in a coma for 6 months or something, 5 months, is going to be prepared to go to school full on? Right. Okay. This isn't a WB show.
I don't think it's depicted as a reasonable thing. I think that Andy's like, this is all happening too fast. But the parents, everybody's like, no, he just needs to get back into the normal swing of things. Like, I think it's bad.
Yeah, I think it's showing.
So
that.
Are
like,
you saying that because you know what happens later? Like, are you saying that with the knowledge of you are?
It's further showing the poor judgment of his parents and stuff like that.
We've literally seen Andy like expressing concern.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm wondering, I mean, like, to me, that didn't seem like a feasible future, real drama that this kid is going to be severely affected because he went back to school too early. I just thought it was kind of forced in. But to me, now that it's like becoming a problem because it doesn't seem real. It's, like, this girlfriend seems like extra assholey. Like,
she's putting a lot of pressure.
She sucks. Mm-hmm. And then everyone seems to suck a lot. I'm very confused after watching this episode and having this discussion. No? Like, right?
No, I agree that the timeline feels kind of weird. I do think that, like, Eric's point about the fact that we've been in lockdown for, like, most of this year, like, yeah, affects our sense of time compared to, like, viewers and, like, creators of television in 2002.
You also have to remember, like, there was probably, because you said that the Thanksgiving episode was before a break in release, right? There was, like, a winter break on the TV schedule. So there was, like, probably a couple months.
So people would have experienced that as, like, now he's going back to school.
So, like, this episode probably aired January, maybe February, something like that. And when he was...
January 20th?
Yep. When was the episode released when they did the surgery? Or when he woke up? I guess it would have been the episode after that.
When he woke up from the surgery?
When he was like, I don't know.
Well, because one of my questions is, like, between the surgery and going back to school, how fucking long is that?
When were those?
The surgery episode was We Hold These Truths, the fourth, where we see the flashbacks to the 4th of July and everything.
Yep.
Okay.
That aired October 28th, 2002. Okay.
But then there was something where he wakes up. It wasn't the same episode, right?
Then she goes to visit him, and she's like, he can't remember
Till Death Do Us Part, Colin's Awakening. That's November 4th.
So like a
week
later.
So it's right after?
That's the next episode. He wakes up.
Okay.
And then we don't see Colin for a while because Amy's banned from seeing him.
Right.
So the recovery kind of happens like the month of November into December, and then in its vegetative state,
which would have been the week before
when Colin comes home, is January 6th. So it's at least 2 months of recovery.
Right.
And then Amy gets the call on Thanksgiving, right? Like, oh, Colin's coming home. So they're like easing him, like, okay, we've got a month at the hospital in Denver. Now he's going to go home, and it's going to be break, no school. He's now it's home, and now he's going to, you know, but you know, we're having to pay so much attention to this, like, after the fact.
Right.
I don't blame anybody for it being fuzzy.
I think it also just speaks to, like, the such a different way of consuming television nowadays versus back then. It was always so tied to when it depended on the show, but a lot of these types of shows, it was always so tied to
there was
to
a Christmas when, episode.
Exactly, on Christmas.
There's a
Halloween
episode,
on Halloween.
Right.
Like, when the next season starts up, it's always about what'd you do over summer or whatever. What'd you do this past summer?
Yeah.
And, like, the perception of time, the stories were more stretched out because they were, like, almost, I feel like they were, like, often written to match up with how long it took to consume the episodes.
I guess I mean, like, okay, so that, right. And I think, like,
whereas a show, a 12 episode show could be over 2 days now.
Like, I think I just am still, like, wondering about the medical science because, like, still, I genuinely am like, is it really physically possible for this kid who had been in a coma for at least 5 months to get up and then go to school, like, regular school?
You might just, like, hey, you're going to do your senior year twice, but, like, you don't remember the first half or whatever, so, like, who cares?
Right.
You'll just start again next year.
I will say that, like these things do get addressed in the next few episodes.
Yeah? Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's clearly building up to that. Like, he's not ready for this.
Right, yeah. He is having issues,
And this is also, remember, like, TV doesn't do, like, 23, 24 episode seasons anymore.
Right.
We're so and that's part of it, I think. It's a different, totally different way of writing and presenting this kind of thing. I think it's one of the reasons why TV has gotten better.
Yeah.
Is that they're not constrained by this whole, like, people are waiting a week between, and so we have to back explain and, like, retell certain things. And
I totally, like, I hear you, KT, and I'm, like, 100%. Keep watching.
Cool.
So Bright says to Colin, like, after he's like, as he's dropping him off from school, we should stick with our usual routine, maybe not have Ephraim around. It's like ketchup and peanut butter,
super
man.
Subtle
not
Bright
cool, not good.
And
this is time for Prattling On with KT. Chris Pratt is a pile of pee.
Yeah, he is. He
like a crystallized mass of
he's
urine.
Just man, I'm not prepared except
I thought you were gonna bring up what happened
was there
this
something?
Week with Chris Pratt on Twitter.
Oh my God. Okay. So on Twitter this week, some random stranger, awesome person was like, Jack Black could replace Chris Pratt in any role that he has played and make it better. And
Chris Pratt, there was many
a whole discussion on all of Twitter about how
Jack Black,
who is somebody I have loved for years and years and years, adored, have loved him for so long. And then fucking Chris Pratt, who I obviously cannot even stand to be on the same planet with. So that is like the best. Oh my God. It was such a wonderful Twitter moment because Chris Pratt still, I just keep waiting to hear like Chris Pratt comes out and he's like, hey, listen, secretly I give millions of dollars away to like this gay charity somewhere. I just didn't want to say anything because I'm a cool guy.
He's using it in the pejorative. Okay. This gay charity.
Some like Doctors Without Borders. Oh, sounds gay.
Can you fucking imagine? And I read it as like, oh my God, he gave it to a gay charity.
And this charity's like, really queer, you guys. Give him so much money.
That's so fucking but see, that's what would happen because guess what? Chris Pratt isn't donating money to, I don't want to spread that rumor. That's a fake fucking rumor that I just made up. He fucking sucks because why, if you say nothing, you're either okay with being perceived that way or you fucking agree with it. And either way, like what the fuck? Your platform is enormous. Come out and say, hey, guess what? I'm a weird fucking Christian because religion is weird. But hey, I love Jesus, but also I love LGBTQ plus people.
And Jack Black as Star-Lord.
I don't like that my church does this. And also, Jack Black, I'm giving you the role of Star-Lord from now on. And that would be the best announcement ever. Like, just come fucking do that, Chris Pratt. What the fuck is wrong with you? God damn it.
Prattling on with Katie. Chris Pratt is a pile of poopy.
Yay.
I forgot about our new segment, TV Time.
It's TV Time time.
TV Time with Adam. Jesus Christ.
It's the same tune, Adam.
I mean, let's maybe actually do this at the end. Well, no, some of these, like 4 years ago, is TV Time user Isabella wrote, Amy is starting to get on my nerves.
Yes.
To which Paula C.R. replied.
Oh, you can reply.
Yeah, you can see replies too. Paula C.R., who we heard from last episode, she wrote, same eye roll emoji.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, TV Time user Niha456 wrote, Amy is so annoying.
Yes.
Okay.
Carlesian Laurent, who we heard from last week, wrote 3 years ago, WTF, I would have rage against Amy, acting out like his nothing. But Surly will coming running back. I'm here like a girl take a chill pill.
Yeah.
Brownie emoji.
Mm. I'm here like girl take a chill pill too.
Yeah, for real.
We'll have some more comments later. I love Colin in this episode because he says to Bright at the end of that scene, he's like, well, he's one of us now, so
yeah,
just make it work. Then we get Ephraim in his bedroom. He's listening to that song, I Don't Care About You.
Yeah, like, so dumb.
So on the nose. I love when he's listening just classic, like, rebellious emo music. Amy has thrown a rock at his window, I guess. She asks Ephraim, when she comes inside, why he's all buddy-buddy with Colin. I love, what's the great line? Ephraim's like, I don't know, maybe he thinks I'm pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Favor. Mm. Favors.
I do declare.
Amy basically came over to say, you can't sit with us. And it's just like, ooh, that's ugly energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, she's like, I think it would be best for just everybody. And Ephraim's like, oh, it's good to see that you're thinking about everybody for a change instead of just yourself.
Yeah.
Ever since Colin became attracted to Ephraim, Ephraim gained all this sass and he had no time for Amy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Fuck so Amy. Good.
Yep.
She's like, well, you guys have nothing in common anyway. And Ephraim's like, and Amy's like, no, that's not what I meant. And Ephraim's like, that's exactly what you meant. You see me saying it out loud.
But really, like, like, honestly, that whole scene sucked because, like, I was so mad in the middle of it where it was, she was just kept fucking pulling around. You knew where she was going. It was, don't be friends with my coma boyfriend. Be mean to him so he doesn't like you anymore. Because it's what else bullshit. Would he, what else is he supposed to right. do? If his, if this confused, befuddled lobotomy child is trying to be his friend, you're not going to change his befuddled mind, okay? Yeah. Like, just fucking let him have the friend, you total asshole.
It's another example of Amy wanting control and things do not seem like the way she envisioned them when mm-hmm. she was, like, waiting for her comatose
boyfriend.
But,
like, she has to be okay with him being mean to Colin. That's
I don't think
literally...
she's thinking...
that far.
Yeah, I don't think she's thinking far.
She's just saying, go away. Like, don't be there.
Oh, yeah, like, that's real.
We know it's not. We're not teenagers.
She's, like, I'm
just... We're not grieving.
She's terrible.
Here's the thing. She also, I don't think nobody here, neither she nor Ephraim, understands why Colin has, like,
right.
kind of approached him or anything, right? Yep. So for her, she has no knowledge of, like, this is weird. Ephraim must have done something.
Yeah.
Just, Ephraim, stop what you're doing. Leave him alone. So, like,
I don't know. That's not, you're putting words into her mouth. That is not, if I had heard that.
What?
I would have, she didn't say that. She didn't say.
What part? No, I wasn't saying word for word what she said.
Say what? No. But I think what you're saying is, like, slightly different. What did he just say?
He was insinuating that she maybe thought that this was Ephraim's fault.
That Ephraim had done something to mess with.
She said, "What did like? Why are you being all buddy buddy with Colin?" That's what I'm taking as like you did something. Just stay away from him.
Or you're encouraging it.
Why would he befriend you? He doesn't even.
To me, that question just sounds like, why are
you? He's a popular kid. He's usually a douchebag to people like you.
See, I don't understand that at all. That's what I'm saying. Like, she wouldn't say that.
No, she didn't say that. That was me joking.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, what is the real reason for her to? Actually think
it's just
that.
Not the way she pictured, so she's like, there's something wrong here.
Jeez,
like it's,
she's really fucked up.
I mean, it's definitely it's I think it would be weird, right, even if she and Ephraim had never kissed, right?
Yeah,
but so it's the weirdness of like, Ephraim, you're not one of these kids, and also like, he doesn't remember me. Why is he like being like, he's being nicer to you than he's mm-hmm. like being to me, mm-hmm. and also we kissed, like all of those things is like like, stay away, right? Like, and
I think it's mostly like shame around the kiss.
Yeah.
Since she puts so much fucking value on this relationship. Like, mm-hmm. I think that in her mind, if he finds out about the kiss, then he'll let go of what she's trying to build, you know, as a relationship. And mm-hmm. she just can't have that.
Yeah.
So she really should have killed
him. I mean, she's. She's definitely being like a bitch. She's
right?
This is not
like,
good, Amy.
One,
but like
nothing. Yeah. I don't think she has
redeemable.
Any good motivations. Right? Like her, because her the only goodness you could say is just that she loves, or she thinks she loves her boyfriend. Because if she actually loved him, she wouldn't be doing this to him. That is fucking awful.
What I love is that there are no adults, no doctors who are like seeing all of this and just being like Andy's the only one, but he's so clueless. He's like, keep doing what you're doing, Colin.
Right.
You know, but he's the only one who expressed any concern about how fast
it's
going.
And then
he said that,
and then he went to visit to like give a stamp of approval. And he saw him walk like four steps. He's like, nope, looks good.
Yeah.
You go.
But yeah, Ephraim, he goes by E now. All the kids at school call him, Yo, E, what's up?
Nice.
Yo, E, what's up? And Wendell has a classic explanation of, you got a nickname now. You're cool, man. You're the cool kid in the show. I'm still just the explainer in the show. I gotta say, I know Chris Pratt, terrible. But again, Chris, but Bright picking Ephraim. In basketball, like Bright is actually listening to Colin and trying to be there's this soft side, the soft receptive side to Bright that comes out.
Hey, listen, I'm not against Bright. I'm against Chris Pratt. If Bright had been played by any other random guy,
like Jack Black,
just some rando. He's great. The character's fine. He's been a dope. He's been a just like a nothing character so far. But I agree. I really did like that. That because that shows what an actual friend is supposed to do.
Yes.
Which is listen, and you know, it's a give and take, and like,
and adapt.
Adapt. And of
course, and of course, but he's still a dope, and he like, he won't say to Ephraim, well, look, I'm like calling, like I'm trying to help him. He's like, no, you are my friend. These are the things I like about you. You're very clean.
No, but it's very funny dialogue.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's bad. It's funny.
Ephraim's like, but you hate me. He's like, no, I don't. I like you. I've always been fond of you. Why? Say nice things about me. You're sensitive and you're extremely clean.
Like how Bright would think of that.
Extremely clean. It's very funny. After school, Colin offers that they can give Ephraim a ride with his bike.
Oh, wait.
And this is
I'm
when
sorry.
It happens.
Before I... Yeah. This, if this is like the last scene, been a thing that I wanted to... Well, at what point did they... Again, this is something that they've done multiple times in multiple episodes. But at what point did they emphasize how different Ephraim looks again? Somebody freaking... They always emphasize like how different or like how he's... And I'm like, he looks normal. Like,
was it in the truck scene when Brett, when he was like ketchup and mustard or ketchup and peanut butter?
I don't know, man. Dang. Now I'm going to go crazy because I can't remember. He was specifically saying, one of these characters was talking to him and saying like, yeah, it's because you look different or something. Like,
I think it was Colin in the last scene where he and Ephraim talk. Which was a good scene. It was,
he's saying
it's clear that you look like how I feel in terms of not belonging.
You look as out of place as I feel. But it's not about his physical appearance. Okay. It's about his demeanor. Yeah. Like, you look uncomfortable. Like, you're the only person here who looks like as uncomfortable and like out of place as I do. Which is a great scene. We'll get to it.
I didn't realize it was about discomfort.
Yeah, I don't think it was about his TB.
It wasn't about the tuberculosis. That would have been funny.
Nobody else in this school looks like they have one foot in the grave.
You look like you are also unwell. Like my brain.
Frankenstein is talking to like a vampire.
Sounds heartwarming.
It is a really sad scene when Ephraim like yells at Colin. He's trying to be like, look, it's like basically, is it old Yeller? Like,
get out of here.
Get out of here. Or Harry and the Hendersons.
Yes.
Or Harriet the Spy.
Or Harriet the Spy. Oh my God.
Can I talk to you for a second? I thought we already finished this.
Not exactly.
I lied to you, Ephraim. I acted like the reason I was going to be your friend was because of your dad, but it's not. It's something else. All right? Let's hear it. I don't know you. But more importantly is you don't know me. You're the only person in this school who doesn't expect me to remember them or expect me to be this guy that I don't even know who he was. You know, and I'm trying to please all these people, but it's wearing me out, man.
I can understand that.
Yeah, but see, it's different with you because you don't have any expectations. And I don't have to feel guilty for not knowing you. You see, in a way, I mean, I know we're both new. And you look about as out of place as I feel, which is probably why I approached you. But what I don't get is why you don't like me.
Who said I didn't like you?
Well, it's obvious you don't like hanging around me. Is there a reason?
No. No reason. We're cool.
Cool.
So let's talk about this E thing. Who came up with that?
Probably Brady.
This is, I think one of my favorite scenes in the show, actually.
It's a very good, very good scene.
Approaches Ephraim in the hallway and he says, like, I lied to you. I'm not trying to be friends with you because of your dad. You're the only person who doesn't know me. And yeah, that line, you look about as out of place as I feel, I think is about, like, discomfort and not, like...
I guess I just thought because he had just said the thing about him being from another place, right? Like, I thought he was, it just, and it also, I think it's tied into like how people have often mentioned his hair color. And I'm like, it just literally looks brown. Maybe it's just the quality of the recording, but
it's
like,
no longer, I think at the start of the show, it was like all purple or red.
I know, but
something.
It really wasn't though. I remember back, cause that's the thing that's been bothering
me. It
is the most
subtle.
It was dyed.
Well,
it was
more, weird, but it's not dyed anymore. No. It's normal now.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like, talking about that, and because I never bought it, I never bought any of the stuff when they were like, he's dressing so differently.
Oh,
or like, he looks
from New York,
yeah, he looks so different. I'm like, he's just wearing some black clothes,
but it is like high school logic. Like, mm-hmm. high schoolers will find any reason to fucking like ostracize and just be.
I mean, I think there's also a thing of like people moving from different areas, especially in like high school and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like, it's like what I always think of, because I remember like the director talking about it or something, and it's obviously super exaggerated, but it's Napoleon Dynamite, the clothes that they wear.
Yeah.
It's like a reflection of a real thing.
Yeah.
Of like how kids in like rural
different
places
areas.
Or whatever it might be, like they're mm-hmm. like, it's behind or different. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think that's specifically that area in the Midwest or whatever, wherever that's set.
I think like, it's like Idaho
it
or
was
something
like,
talk, like that.
Yeah, like that specifically in the Midwest, it is very behind the times fashion-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's weird how that stuff actually takes time to catch up. But anyway.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Still, I think it's a solid scene. I love the comment from stuff.
I think the one thing that stuck to me in my brain that I had to like move past, like I caught on or something, was the fact that he says you're the new kid. Like, there's no other new kid. Like, he's the only one. Yeah. Like, it's for story writing.
Well, who moves to Everwood? like, really?
Famous doctors and actresses,
yep.
apparently.
And famous directors.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever.
Yeah, it's sad. And Colin's like, why don't you like me? And Ephraim has to be like, it's not that. You're fine. We're cool. But then they walk off together and Amy watches after them. Mm-hmm. And Ephraim is like, let's talk about this E thing. Who came up with that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like,
That's part two of Ephraim being sassy. He's just like, oh yeah, are you watching?
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine his walk. He's shaking his butt a little bit as he's going.
The wiggle.
He put his hand in Colin's back pocket.
Yes!
This is what we do in Everwood. You don't remember.
Yeah.
I had to learn this too. We're new. I'll teach you all the new kid stuff.
That's awesome. And then at the musical.
Ephraim, do you want to come sit with us? We saved a few extra seats.
No, thanks. I'm just going to chill here with my dad.
Okay.
Catch you later.
You two friends now?
Kinda. Turns out we have some stuff in common.
You mean Amy?
Surprisingly, it has nothing to do with Amy.
So why don't you go sit with him?
Because Amy.
So why don't you go sit with him?
Amy. That was very well written. I like that
really
a lot.
Good.
So that's the episode.
That's it.
Other TV time comments. 3 years ago, Paula CR wrote, honestly, I'm liking this friendship between Ephraim and Colin. By the way, Amy, cut that poor boy, Ephraim, in brackets. Some slack. He has been nothing but a good friend to you since the beginning. Eye roll emoji. Is that a gift from? What's that gift from?
That would be Josie from Josie and the Pussycats from Riverdale.
Oh, she used a Riverdale from the CW to get a gift. Cool.
So it's all CW family.
Mm-hmm. We've got two comments from TV Time user The Fandom Lounge. First is a gif. He wrote, quoted Bright to Ephraim, I've always been fond of you. I'm just, you know, shy. And the gif is somebody saying, bullshit. And his other comment, I really enjoy Harold's personality. I know most people seem to find him irritating, but I think he's kind of awesome. He's feud with Dr. Brown rocks. I'm really liking this Colin. I'm guessing he used to be an asshole, and hopefully he doesn't go back to being that. Ephraim could use a friend. Also, I find it hard to believe that a world-renowned brain surgeon fails to remember lines after a few weeks.
Different part of the brain, dude.
Different part of the brain. Sure. TV Time user M responded, I like Harold, too. He's a very protective and caring dad and wants always the best for his family. To which the Fandom Lounge... I love, this is my favorite segment. Wrote, yes! ! And he has a strong moral compass and is extremely opinionated, but knows when it's time to back off. Of course, I also find his sarcasm and dislike for people endearing.
Who are these people on a first name basis with Dr. Abbott? I'm offended by that.
This has been TV Time.
TV Time.
Well, this episode has been brought to you by Heinz ketchup and peanut butter. It's better than you might think.
Ew. No, it's not.
Any other? Do you have any other ideas? What?
The Merck manual.
The Merck manual. Want to get menopause? Here's how.
This episode brought to you by the beer in the bar. You probably don't want to drink that. Or probably shouldn't drink that.
Wait, maybe that's what the line is. Like, this stuff is shit.
I was wondering that because, like, it was not clear that she knew she was sick. That was me. Like, that was one of the options. I was trying to figure out if that made sense in the writing. I don't think it did.
Probably don't want to drink that. It seems caring, but really she's just like, this stuff is watered down. Yeah. Go somewhere else and get you wasted. Yeah.
You're back!
All right, well, let's do our ratings in anticipation, in experience, and in retrospect. I, 5 stars going in because I knew that it was going to have some awesome Ephraim Collin stuff. 5 stars watching because Ephraim Collin, and 5 stars after because of Ephraim Collin. I love me some like dark-haired twink on twink fantasy stuff, but come on, right?
Okay, you're changing my score when you put frame it that way.
Are there 6 stars?
Six and a half. What's that?
What's your ratings?
What's my rating? Going into it 4 because I thought like the whole fame thing was going to play a bigger part. I thought it was going to be like, something really cool. It was going to be 3.5 while watching, but all of those scenes where Collin is just being completely nice to Ephraim, like a nice human being is. My gay brain was like, he's in love with you, obviously. No. And this is something and you should pursue it. So that raised it up to like 4 stars for me. And then, I'll keep it at 4 on the way out.
Cool.
Okay.
You guys?
Going in, I'll say 4 stars because even before not being impressed with the title after watching it, the title itself did not intrigue me very much.
Sure. Not as much as Vegetative State.
Exactly, right. Well, no, actually, I didn't like that. That one going in, I did not like because I'm like, oh, it's just Coma Story. Mm-hmm. But I liked the wordplay with it more than this one. But watching, 5 stars. I've probably a lot of it was because it was all the theater stuff, which has been part of my life since I was in second grade or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, that holy moment, whatever the fuck it was called, holy time.
The holy time.
What was it? I originally remember it from that speech that Adam Lauber gave at that acceptance of his award. I can't believe they stole it for the show.
This Robert Kuiper's Memorial Award for Excellence in Comedy goes out to everybody who's experienced that holy time, the few seconds before the curtain goes up. And you catch the Jews. Thank you.
God. And then afterwards, you know, 3 stars because of all the continuity errors.
We decided.
You decided.
That was not a continuity. This can never be released.
That's true. Oh, wait, yeah. Will and can are different. Go on, your ratings.
Oh, all right. So going into it, I will say 5 just because I really like watching Everwood with you guys and I'm getting excited about watching it all the time. So that's good. That shows that overall the show's good. So I was expecting the episode to be good. I'm going to give it a 4 and that is the reason I'm giving it a higher rating is actually only because of the Ephraim and Collin stuff, because I've never really been that interested in Ephraim, but now all of a sudden I was like, this is interesting and I'm happy to watch this storyline.
They enhance each other as characters.
Yes.
Like so, apart, they're like whatever, but the combination is like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, you know what? And that's so
Wonder Twink powers activated.
The Wonder Twink. I I will say, so afterwards, my last review is a 5 because I like this discussion and like kind of figuring out this stuff and what you just said.
Nice.
Yeah. Like what you just said about how they alter each other. Like they change each other. They're both are more interesting.
Yeah.
In my
like
opinion,
separately, they're like tropes.
Because I am so tired of Amy. I was
they're all every... the characters, the teen characters on their own are kind of tropey.
Right.
But combining those two in this amicable way is different.
It's really new. Interesting. And like, and I was getting really sick of, it's not, I don't even think it was like I was sick of Ephraim because I don't necessarily like Ephraim. I was irritated with him at first, but it was more because I hate Amy. Like, and I've been hating her more and more. Yeah. So every time she was involved with anything, I was like, I don't want to watch this. Like those parts always would suck. But that's why it gets a 4 and then a 5. So like 5, 4, 5.
Nice.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah.
That's almost enough to make up for Eric's shitty ratings.
Almost, but not quite.
Almost, but not quite. Oh my gosh, I love doing this with you guys.
Me too.
Jerome is now a regular guest.
Yes.
No, glad. Like I told him like after last week, I was like, it was like a serious conversation. I was like, Jerome,
let me sit you down.
Just, you know, like I don't.
Don't feel obligated.
Yeah.
Don't feel pressured or obligated to do this every time. It just so happens that 2 weeks in a row, like, it made sense to have you on.
Yeah.
So, like, never again. It's okay. And, but then today, he was like, hey, can I come over tonight and hear about your day? I was like, I guess if you want to be on Never Wouldn't again. He was like, what time?
Oh, yay! So, that's awesome.
But it's still, I'm just saying, like, a week-to-week basis. Who knows?
Yeah.
We will see.
No strings attached. That's the tagline.
Want to come over?
Never would.
Yeah.
No strings attached. Oh man, in so many ways that's true. Like the metaphorical strings of listener to podcast. Yeah. Not none.
Yeah.
Next week's episode is called, and I realized something.
Oh.
I once said to on this podcast that like. I had a character on The Sims Online called Ephraim the Second.
Right.
Because of how much of, like, I loved Ephraim, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't realize, I forgot at the time that that is a very specific
reference
to the title of next week's episode, which is called Colin the Second.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, which, thoughts, predictions about Ooh. Colin the Second? Jerome like, doesn't get to predict because he might accidentally remember.
Is it like in a duel? Like you have your second and Ephraim forces Colin. Ephraim and Amy are fighting, but then they have Colin and Bright duel in their stead as their seconds. That's probably what it is.
Okay, if Everwood was Game of Thrones. Sure.
Colin the Second.
I mean, is it just going to be about Colin like being a different person kind of
boring
that's what, I mean that's
boring
really
think... that can't be it
that is
going on
it.
With these titles right. downhill
yeah I know
oh I should say Colin is spelled C-O-L-O-N the double meaning Andy Brown performs a colonoscopy
oh my god
Colin the Second
that's amazing
we can expect to kind of hear more about Colin's situation and the ways in which he doesn't feel like he is what people expect him to be, which I don't think that's a surprise or a shocker.
Right.
I think
the
show is setting it up. Well,
it's time.
Everybody, listeners, friends, boyfriend, the time has come for us to say goodbye from all of us here. Never would, never wouldn't. Just like to say, fake it till you make it. This is Adam Lover signing out. Do it, bro. Do it. You know it. I'm breaking up with it.
There were strings attached. Sorry. They break it to you.
But bye.
Do.
Do it. Do.